Good morning. I think as you can see, we are ready for a fantastic journey with our children this week. The Vacation Bible School will be launched tonight. So we just ask for your prayers, certainly. What a meaningful week. And I know we're going to be having some special announcements. We're also looking forward. We got a special today. Haley is going to share her talent with us. We're sure looking forward to that. And if there are any parish notices to come before us, we want to welcome you to bring the parish notices at this time. Any parish notices?
Things are coming along, getting ready to start tonight. We still do need some help in the preschool, so if anybody would like that position, we have some books available for you to look at. And we'll start a little early. We'll be here by 5:30 for registration tonight. I have registration forms that if you want to fill them out ahead of time, you can do that. I have them here this morning, so show up and bring your kitties and we'll have a great time.
Fantastic, fantastic. Any other parish notices to come for us? Then let us prepare our hearts for morning worship. Let us stand for the opening prayer, and please remain standing. God of love, we come to you as we are. In the midst of our doubts, our confusion, our failures, we come with our hopes and our dreams, trusting that you provide all that we need out of your abundant love. Open our hearts to the richness of your grace. Open our lives to the balm of your mercy, that we might grow into your community of life and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come, everyone, come and worship. Come, all whose hearts are heavy. Come, all who doubt. Come, all who trust in God. Come, everyone, come and worship. And now we lift up our hearts and voices to worship through the opening hymn, O Worship the King, hymn number 73. Take this opportunity, welcome one another through the passing of the peace. And now at this time, we invite the children for the children's moments. Thank you. Well, good morning, children. It is just great to have you here on this on this beautiful day. Beautiful day. That was another song that was keying up, which actually was Derek. Thank you, because that reminded me. We will be having for the offering music one of the songs you're going to be doing in Vacation Bible School. I know April's given me some beautiful music that we've been using, and this one. Wait till you hear this, April. I think. In fact, I told Janet Keever. I said, I think Crossroads is going to have to learn that. Laura, honey, what's? Okay. All right. Sometimes it's best not to ask. So at any rate, that's one of the songs you're going to be doing. It's going to be a fantastic, fantastic week. You see, it's already getting set up, and we're looking forward to tonight. Laura, honey, Laura, what are you? I'm going to ask this time. What are you doing?
You're going to scare away the weird animals. I'm a weird animal researcher.
Weird animal research? Laura, you're not a weird animal researcher. No, you work at Thomas Edison.
No. My whole life I've wanted to be a weird animal researcher. And this is my big break this week. I'm a weird animal researcher.
Well, have at it then.
Have you guys ever been a weird animal researcher? Well, here, I'm going to give you a card. You can put your name at the top. We have quite a few kids here today. Hope I have enough weird animal research cards.
It's good to run out, though. I mean, that's a blessing.
Here, I'm losing my camouflage here. Here you go. Oh, I'm going to have enough. Do you guys want to be weird animal researchers? You want to make some weird animals of your own this week? Learn some songs about Jesus? Have some weird snacks? Play some weird games? Well, this week, this guy here, his name's Milton. We got one here, too. We need a D-sized battery today.
D-sized battery. Anybody have a D-sized battery in their pocket?
We got a C-sized battery, but Milton needs a D-sized battery. There weren't any instructions with Milton. But you come tonight, and all this week, come Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, or any night. If you can't come every night, come what nights you can. And we're going to have an awesome time. We're going to learn about Jesus, and we're going to meet some new friends. And they're going to help us know. Can anybody tell me what this says? Do you know what that says?
Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you, and that's going to be our Bible point for the week. You know how every year when somebody says for instance, on Milton, he says, even when you don't understand, you guys are going to say, Jesus loves you. So let's practice, and you guys will be my helpers tonight because you're already going to know what to say. Even when you don't understand, Jesus loves you. We got more of them. Even though you're different, even though you do wrong, even when you're afraid, and even when you're left out. Did you ever get left out? Even when you're left out. Okay. Are you going to come this week, you think? Okay, let's come up here and we'll make a circle. We'll say a little prayer for our Bible school this week. And even if you're a grown-up, you're still welcome to come. 8:15 every night we have our closing where the kids sing, and we watch a little drama on the screen, and we have a lot of fun. So you're welcome to come every evening for that if you'd like.
And before they return to their pews, I'm going to have Dave Hummel come up. Dave's going to help me. We're going to hand out these treats. If you're a visitor today, let me tell you about the treats. And Brother Dave's going to help me. He's going to start at one side. I'm going to start the other. You get two suckers. You get to take two. Yeah, you get to take two. Take two out of there. Did you get your other one, buddy? Take your other one. You take two. Go ahead and grab two suckers, and one of them you're going to keep, and one of them, do you not want that, Allison? But one of them you're going to keep, and the other one you're going to give away, see? Yeah, you get two. You want another one? You want me to get it for you? Will you hold it for him? You want to hold it for him? There you go, buddy. There you go. You don't want that anymore? All right. Okay. All right, honey. Well, we'll just put this right up here. All righty. Now, you know, Brother Dave's beating me, but you're doing good, Dave. But go ahead and take your two there. There you go, Parker. Good for you, son. All right. Told you what they're going to do with the second sucker? Am I allowed to ask, or is it a secret? Yeah. Or what are they going to do, Brother Dave?
She said,
give it to someone and tell them that God loves them. I can't think of better evangelism than that. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Dave. Thank you for helping out. And you may return to your pews, and Jacob here is going to help us. This young man is going to help carry the microphone. And again, if you're a visitor today, let me get you acquainted with our hospitality here. Rich hospitality. We come prepared every week for visitors, and therefore they let old Greg tell the same announcement every week, and we do it with pride. We do it with love. In the pews, there's a visitor's card. You want to, if you wish to fill that out, and if you wish to put your telephone number on there, when the offering takes place here in a little bit, you just drop that visitor's card in the offering plate, and my ushers always get that to me, and we always get a call out to you. So just drop that in the offering plate here in a little bit during the offering. Now, this portion to get you better acquainted, too, with this this service, it's called Joys and Concerns. If you have a joy, it could be a birthday announcement, wedding anniversary. It could be a joyful testimony of how the Lord is giving you strength in your journey. And you want to lift up that joy, raise your hand. If you have a concern, maybe somebody you love is sick, you want to alert us to that need, raise your hand. Joys or concerns, raise your hand. Keep them up real high, and Jacob's going to bring you the mic so we can all hear in the house. Do you know this young man, Karen?
Tuesday, July 1st, Danielle will turn 15.
Happy birthday. Now, there's a joy. That's a perfect example of a joy. And yes, grandmother knows Jacob. Yes, indeed.
Well, we're happy to have family here. And
yes,
I also want to wish a happy belated birthday to Roger Baxa. He is definitely old now.
There we go. And we got you, buddy. Thank you, Karen. Thank you. Great to have the fam here. Great to have the family. I see a hand back here. See him, Jake? Keep, Gloria. He'll see. You see, buddy? You see? Okay, there he goes. He's coming.
Got good report on Madison when she went down for her checkup.
Praise the Lord.
She don't have to have surgery for hopefully 3 to 5 more years.
Oh, wonderful.
That's good.
Wonderful.
And tomorrow is Clark's birthday.
Can you get a better birthday gift, Clark? How about that, brother? What a wonderful birthday gift. Yes, John. I'll field this one. An amazing. An amazing word. John Hall, thank you. We lift her up. And I want to thank Phyllis for getting that prayer alert out to us. Thank you, Phyllis. You did a great job with that. But praise the Lord. Keep her in your prayers. I see one over here. Any more over here before Jacob leaves over here? Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
Linda had a birthday last Monday.
And Linda had a birthday last Monday. You know Linda, you know the hero from last Sunday, right? Amen. The hero. Yes, sir, Brother Dave.
Yeah, I'd like to update some medical
Gina's doing real good. She's starting to get out and walk more in the evenings and stuff when it's cooled down. And she's really doing good. She had her 50th birthday last week ago Thursday, the 19th, and that was a year that she'd had her third open heart surgery. Wow. So she was she's doing real good. And I got a text the other day from Faith, Jasmine Coleman's mom, and they were up to Cleveland this week, and they got to go back in 2 weeks and see the surgeon, but everything looks like it's a go for her double lung transplant. We're going to see, they said they'd keep in touch with me to let us know what's going on, but her heart, lungs are at about 26% right now, and but it was down to 23, so Faye said it sounds like the prayers is working for us.
Sure does.
So you know, keep our prayers for her, because she's going to be going through a lot.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Dave. Yes, indeed. Fritzy.
First of all, I want to thank everyone for their thoughts, prayers, cards, and whatever. And John beat me to my big news about Sharon. I was going to share with her, too. And she is doing well, from what I hear. And Lori Orsbon is a cousin. Her Neil is Sharon or Jimmy's cousin. So.
Well, that's family for you, buddy. I know that's family for you.
So it's good to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you. Isn't it great to have Fritzy here? My goodness, yes. We're complete now. We're complete, Mother. We're complete.
Mary Jo's son graduated, and right after graduation, him and his best friend took off to go cross country. So this week is 2 weeks that they've been gone. Everything is okay. They did have some car trouble, but it's taken care of. Their plan was to be gone for 6 weeks. They're running out of money, so I just pray that they have enough to get home.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
they're in
indeed.
California right now, and coming down the backs or the downside of the country. So just keep Preston and his friend Andrew in your prayers.
And young, you know, for that, right, Gail? Young for that kind of a journey. Yes, indeed. Very, very good. Very good. Prayers are with them. See Annie back here?
A lot of people do a lot of work around here. And
yes.
I think Charlie Bear and Lonnie McIntosh have did a lot of things lately. And I'd like to thank them.
Amen. Amen. And I know they're very humble and don't want to take a lot of credit. But yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy, Annie. Indeed. That goes for all of us, sister. Any other joys or concerns? Hasn't Jacob done it? Let's praise the Lord for Jacob, for the ministry he's provided today. Son, you are just doing great. Thank you, young man. Let us turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. We thirst for your presence, O God. Come and be living water in our lives. Remind us of your steadfast love. When things feel difficult, show us that you are with us and providing for our needs. And when we are tempted, assure us the freedom of life in Christ. When we feel estranged from you, welcome us with your grace, that your love may transform us in the arms of your mercy. In Jesus' holy name, we ask this. Now, Father, bless us as we embrace the prayer that Jesus himself has invited us to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to invite us to stand for hymn number 453, More Love to Thee. Please be seated. We have a blessing today. I know I was excited when Haley said she was going to sign up on that sheet. By the way, that sheet's still out there. You know, the summertime, I was talking to Carolyn back here. I know we miss being in the choir, don't we, buddy? Yeah, we do. And you're with your bass singer right back there, Brother Bob, our bass singer. And Annie, our alto. Did I get that right? Was it alto or soprano, Annie? Well, she does look good. We'll say amen to that. But here's part of our choir right back here. And, of course, we always, Linda, we always enjoy our choir sessions. We really, really do with you and Keith. But the summer affords another rich blessing, and that is to hear from you, the special that you might feel led to lift up and share with us. So, as a matter of fact, right now, we're going to get that blessing from Haley. Thank you, Haley. I can listen to that all day, Haley. That was beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. We are blessed. I want to turn to the scripture. Romans, the 6th chapter. This is one of the lectionary readings, one of the suggested Bible lessons for today. And I'm going to interface this with the launching of Vacation Bible School and the Weird Animals program. So hang on. We got a story from Dr. Fred Craddock here in just a second I'm going to lift up. But beginning with Romans 6, the Word of God, 12 through 23. Paul writes, "Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather present yourselves to God as those who have been brought forth from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. And that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. And I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification, and the end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want to lift up from that lesson, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now I'm just going to speak briefly, Gail, and this is a test. You know, as I've said, I don't mind you looking at your watches. It's when you hold it up to your ear to see if it's still running. But can you guess how? I'm just going to speak briefly. One story, essentially, that I'm going to lift up here by Dr. Fred Craddock, Dave. But care to guess how long my first sermon was? Anybody guess? See, I'm getting nostalgic now, Larry. I'm getting nostalgic. 5 minutes. 5 minutes was my first sermon. And, of course, for me, frightened to death, Haley. I was scared. I've always been shy. And I thought it was an eternity. But one of Dad's members came up to me. This was with Fletcher United Methodist Church, April. And one of Dad's members was as ornery as I am. He came up, slapped me on the back. And Roger, he says to me, "Now, Greg, remember, you're always going to have success with the kiss." I said, "Beg your pardon?" He said, "The kiss. Keep it short, stupid." Well, I think many, many here are going to vouch that, like so many of us preachers, I have tended to wax eloquent, and I get a little long-winded. But I just want to speak briefly today, and again, to lift up that verse, that key verse now, as we launch into the Vacation Bible School. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift," and again, gift, that's charis in the Greek, charis. That's grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Grace. To unpack that, grace means gift. That's the actual Greek root. Gift. And what is the gift? That which we can never buy, that which we can never earn. The gift is precisely the gift of eternal life. Free to us, but it cost. Oh, yes, it cost. In the times of the law, of which Paul is referring, of course, to brilliant scholars. We said he could have been a systematic theologian easily, but instead he chose to be a pastor. He chose rather to address the needs of each congregation in pastoral letters. Well, the Romans, of course, are steeped in the law. They understand the law fully, Dick, and they remember that as the children of Israel, as Hebrews, to get free from sin, you made sacrifices. You remember last week? The lectionary reading, and these lectionary readings are deliberately designed in the church calendar so that there's a sort of a cohesion, there's a continuum. Do you remember last week when Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Now what that was about, it wasn't about buying a parakeet to keep it as a pet in your cage. It was a purpose for that. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? The least denomination of the coinage. The point was, God, in the law, there was a provision so that the poorest of the poor could sacrifice an animal to free them from sin. And thus the poorest of the poor, those who were marginalized by poverty, were given away. There's only one problem with that, Gail. They made the sacrifice, but the freedom from sin never last. And thus it was sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice was being made. When people were longing for a lasting freedom from sin, a final cleansing, if you will, a transformation that would last, God in his infinite wisdom and in an even greater love made that happen by coming in the form, incarnated through the mystery of the incarnation, coming in the form of the flesh in Jesus. And Jesus walked among us, as his cousin called him, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb, Dave, the Lamb, the Paschal Lamb, the one only without blemish, the one alone whose sacrifice could cleanse us of sin. Now, I don't mean to say that it was glib, those sacrifices that the people were making. It was not. In fact, Senator Doug White was one of my members there at the Manchester United Methodist Church. And I remember Doug would talk about his cattle. He raised cattle. And of course, Doug and Warren's not here today, but Warren knew Ben. Ben White was a professor at Ohio State University. Oh, there, Warren, you're back there. Hey, brother, you know, I was looking over here. Warren, you remember Ben White? Remember that voice? Now, by the way, he did not sing bass. I don't know that he could keep a note in a bucket, right? But he was a profound professor, agriculturalist, and an even greater disciple of Jesus Christ. He and brother Doug, Senator Doug, they practiced the tithe as I was raised, the principle of the tenth. That you've given. As agriculturalists, it was literally the first fruit giving. And I remember Doug was talking about, Laura remembers this about that bull. Dickie had a bull that it came time to return the first fruits. First fruits giving. Now, we still have that term today, by the way, in the church. First fruits giving. I live that life of stewardship. It's rich. And the principle is, as if you had 10 apples laid out on a table, those are all given by the Creator. You know, I got a home now, Shiv. I got a home. You know what I keep telling Laura? We don't got a home. We don't own a home. Where does it go when we die? But to the Lord. We're only stewards. We're only stewards, Linda and Larry. I love it. I love it. And I'm going to care for that property. I'll be the best steward I can be. But it's God's. I know that. You know that. So the 10 apples with which the Lord God, the Creator, blesses you, they're all from God. So with Senator White and with his brother Ben practicing first fruits giving, which we do in United Methodism, the first fruit, the first apple, number one, is the one you return to the Lord in thanks for the 9 that you receive. Now that's the old agricultural parable. The ability to work. Is a gift, a precious gift. So Doug White was about to sacrifice this bull. He was about to have it harvested, to put it in modern language. He was going to have it harvested. And here's what he said to me. Lord, you remember he said, you know, I raised that from just a youngster, fed it, took care of it, groomed it. I think it was one of those award winning. I think he won awards at the fair, Dick. He'd had all those years with it, all those years. Those of you that have raised cattle, when it comes time for the harvest, you know what he's talking about. He said, I want to tell you, it hurts. It hurts. There was nothing glib about the sacrifice, okay? It was costly. Okay, it did tear the heart. But nothing was more costly than the precious Lamb of God who gave his life willingly. No one took it from him. This is the love of God for us, that he laid down his life for us. Dr. Fred Craddock, the great professor of homiletics in New Testament, tells a story that I'm going to dovetail with the Vacation Bible School, because the theme is weird animals, and we're going to hear the gospel unfold, aren't we, Laura? So I'm going to begin with that topic of weird animals. I'm going to tell a story about fleas, a cat, and scratches. And before you think you put that equation together, hold on to what Fred has to share. The story goes, a family one day was taking a drive on a Sunday afternoon. It was a pleasant afternoon, and they were relaxing at a leisurely pace down the road. Suddenly, the children in the back began beating their father's back, and they said, Daddy, Daddy, stop the car, stop the car. There's a little kitten back there on the side of the road. And the father says, so there's a kitten on the side of the road. We're having a drive. But Daddy, you must stop and pick it up. I don't have to stop and pick up that kitten. But Daddy, if you don't, it'll die. Well, then it'll just have to die. And we don't have room for another animal. We got a zoo back at the house already, children. No more animals. Well, Daddy, are you just going to let it die? Be quiet, children. We're trying to have a pleasant drive here. We never thought our daddy would be so mean and cruel as to let a little kitten die. Well, mother turns to her husband and says, dear, you're going to have to stop the car. Ricky rolls his eyes. He sighs and turns the car around. He goes back to the spot, pulls off the side of the road. Children, you stay in the car. I'll look into this. Well, the father gets out of the car to pick up the little kitten. And as he reaches down to this little kitten, which is barely skin and bone, sore-eyed, covered with fleas, fleas, mercy, mercy. He reaches down, and that little kitten, with its last ounce of energy, hisses, baring tooth and claw, reaches out, bites, and scratches his hand till it bled. Fighting the instinct to strangle the ungrateful beast, he reaches around now, and very, very carefully, he finds that little loose skin on the back of the little kitten's neck, you know, and just ever so gently, he lifts it, and he carries it back to the car. Now, don't touch it, children. It's probably got leprosy. Back home they go. And when they get back to the house, the children give the little kitten several baths, about a gallon of warm milk, and then they intercede for it. Daddy, Daddy, can we keep the kitten in the house just tonight, Daddy? Just tonight. We'll make a place for it in the garage tomorrow. You'll see. And the father says, sure, take my bedroom. The whole house is a zoo anyway. Take the bedroom. Well, sure enough, the children make a comfortable bed fit for a pharaoh. And Fred Craddock says, several weeks pass, and then one day, the father walks into the house. He feels something brush against his leg, and he looks down, and there's a cat, Larry, a cat. Well, he reaches down to the cat, carefully checking to make sure no one's watching. He reaches his hand down to the cat, and when the cat sees his hand, it doesn't hiss and bare its claws. Instead, now it arches its back to receive his gentle caress. Dr. Fred Craddock asked the question, was that the same cat? It couldn't be the same cat. It certainly wasn't the same as that hurt, hissing, little abandoned kitten left to die on the side of the road. It was different. It's been changed. It's been transformed. And Reverend Craddock says, we know what made the difference. We only have to look to the cross. You see his hands, you see the scars on his hands, you see the nail prints in his hands and his feet, you see the wound in the side of Jesus. You see the marks of the crown of thorns. Those scars reveal to us that God is love, and he loves us with a gift in spite of what we've done, in spite of who we are, whatever baggage we're carrying. At last comes a cleansing from sin that will last and last and last unto eternity. Changed and transformed by a love that will never let us go. The love of Jesus Christ. We want to thank in advance those who are going to be able to participate, those who are going to be able to share and work, shoulder some of the work this coming week, those that have already worked to help set some of the props up and things of this nature. But we want to invite everybody in this church to pray for this Vacation Bible School. This is a very important journey this week. Seeds will be planted. Lives will be changed and transformed. And the gift of eternal life will already begin for these children through the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May the Lord bless us as we continue to serve him. And we're about to serve him right now. We're going to give to the Lord, return to the Lord, Brother Warren, return to the Lord. Our tithes as well as our offerings. At this time, the ushers will assist us in the morning offering. And this is a song. Listen to this song with the message. Listen to this. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Tim.
This is how he loves us so, a love that's unconditional.
Let us pray together. God of love, you provide everything we need and deal bountifully with us. Our hearts rejoice in your love. We praise you as we share our gifts, and we pray that this offering may bring your blessings of living water to a thirsty world. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Shiv. And now, this time, we turn to the closing hymn 369, Blessed Assurance. Now may that love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all now and forever. Amen.